I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. This tells me that no one is excluded from the fellowship with Jesus. Prostitute and pimp, saint and sinner, substance abuser and drug dealer, anyone has access to Jesus. And this is the point he wanted to make to them, that at the foot of the cross, we're all equal. Bottom line, losers. These are the people I came to call, Jesus said to the Pharisees. Losers, down and out losers. These are my people. I want to actually share with you some of my observations from the scriptures. You know, I've been reading the book of Mark again, not as an Adventist, not even as a Christian. I've just been reading it just as a person looking at it with fresh new eyes. And you will think that I'm crazy. Sometimes I'm just cracking up with laughter. Jesus was a real character. He was no ordinary person, and so I am going to share some of my observations with you. I got to warn you, though, that the message today could be pretty disturbing and maybe even offensive. If you have been coming to Sabbath school, you will know exactly what I mean. The message is captioned, "Looking for Losers." Looking for losers. It's a very unflattering message, actually, looking for losers. We don't like losers. We have a society that loves winners. My man, Tiger Woods, you know, I've got to mention him, arguably the world's best golfer. Boy, when he was on a winning streak, the news media couldn't get enough of him. Bell, 14 majors, multi-million dollar endorsement. Today, he's like a little domestic cat. He can't win to save his life, and the sporting world no longer likes him. We like winners. We don't like losers. The Detroit Pistons. I can't tell you the last day I watched one of their games. Their sales are down 30%. I like winners. I don't like losers. So just who is a loser? Let me hasten to give you a definition. A loser is described as someone who just can't win. Hopeless. A scum. A quitter. A big disappointment. A person without backbone. Someone who just can't get it together. As a kid growing up, it didn't matter what name you called me, Leah. Just don't call me a loser. And perhaps the biggest loser in American society, can you put that picture up for me, is this guy. Some of you may be too young to remember him, but that is Jeffrey Dahmer. America's most notorious serial killer. Dahmer murdered 17 men and boys between 1978 and 1991. His murders involved rape, dismemberment, necrophilia, And what was so disturbing and grotesque about him is that this monster actually kept the body parts of his victims in his freezer. And then Dahmer fell to a new low. He actually ate the body parts without remorse. When he was finally caught and sentenced, Jeffrey Dahmer stood emotionless as families and loved ones of the victims wailed in anguish. And even when he was finally sentenced to 15 life terms, Dahmer showed absolutely no remorse. Some called him sick, heinous, grotesque. Others simply called him a loser. At the conclusion of this sermon, I'll give you the rest of the story about this loser. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have arrested our attention. We ask for your continued blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus made some shocking statements about losers. I found Jesus' statement personally disturbing. And I had to read the scripture reading for today over and over again. And every time I read it, Sister Mills, I became even more disturbed by Jesus' statement. I'm going to share this statement with you and tell me what you think. And then I'm going to break it down and I'm going to sit down. Luke 5, 27 to 31. It says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house. Follow me carefully. And a large crowd of tax collectors and others. Luke was just being a nice guy. He didn't want to call them losers. So he just substituted the word losers for others. But when the Pharisees and teachers of the law who belonged to this sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and losers? Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, this is why I find this passage of scripture so disturbing. If you're going to start a movement, and if you're going to start a church, and you had only 3.5 years, 42 months, and that was the extent of Jesus' public ministry, 42 months. You buy a car, you take, 36 months, 48 months to pay it off. Jesus' public ministry was shorter than your car note. So if I'm going to start a church, I am not going to establish my church with a loser. The Pharisees had a point. I would carefully screen the members of the church. I will check their resumes just to make sure that they're outstanding and upstanding citizens. But this Jesus made it quite clear what his intentions were. He went out and deliberately looked for crooked, twisted, no good rascals to start his church. Yeah. You know, I was talking with one of my children. I'm not going to mention his name. And on a Friday night when we were having worship, and he said to me, you know, Jesus was a really cool guy. It really took me by surprise. I'm like, Jesus as a cool guy. I see Jesus as God and Lord, but not as a cool guy. So I said to him, well, why do you say he was a cool guy? He said, well, you know, he went to a party where the people were having fun. They were, you know, just chilling and laughing and eating good food. And when the wine ran out, his mom came to him and said, you know, can you please help me? And Jesus had the biggest, goofiest smile on his face, and, you know, he just couldn't wait to have this party going again. It was no coincidence that his first miracle was performed outside the church at a party. This was not accidental. He deliberately chose a non-religious function to introduce people to his public ministry. I hope you're following me. So this is the same Jesus that came to Levi and said, follow me. This is like suspense, like you would never believe. As I said, I'm reading the book of Mark again, and I'm sitting on the edge of my seat and going, are you serious, Jesus? Are you for real? So he's walking, and he gets to this guy called Levi by his office. And I'm reading Mark, I'm thinking, okay. And Jesus walks up to him and said, follow me. Who was Levi, Sister Dabney? You don't want to know. He was of the lowest profession ever. You think the IRS is bad? You needed to meet Levi. This is what this guy did. This was his profession. He went to the Romans and said to the Romans who were in power, don't pay me a salary. I'm going to collect taxes for you, but all you need to do is just tell me how much you need from each household. And once we agree on a price, then I'm going to go to each household, to my own people, and I am going to rip them off. I'm going to give the Romans their cut, and the excess I am going to pocket. This guy took people's houses away. Poor people who couldn't afford to pay taxes. It didn't matter. Levi was ruthless. So you understand why when the Pharisees and even his fellow Jews heard the name tax collector, they spat in disgust. They hated these no good nincompoop rascal. Is nincompoop a word? I don't know. But you got a point. So this is the guy that Jesus walks up to. We serve a God who does not discriminate. He calls whomever he chooses to call. Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, Muslim, rich, poor, vagabonds, anyone who responds to his call, he calls. We are the ones who make up these rules and regulations about who is going to be saved and who is not going to be saved and who has God's favor and who has the truth. And so Jesus today walks up to a rascal. And I'm thinking, oh no, you're not going there. And Jesus said to him, you follow me. And get this. Jesus didn't invite him to be a member. Jesus invited him to be a leader. Jesus blessed this rascal up front when he hadn't done any work. I think you guys missed that point. I think you missed that. Let me try that again. Jesus called Levi, established his church with Levi, right as he is sitting at his tax collector's booth. Levi looked up, his jaws dropped, hit the table. Read this text again when you go home. The guy left everything. Watches, money, bling blings, everything that he had ripped off from people, he dropped every single thing. And he started to follow Jesus. I believe when divinity touches humanity, things change. I believe when God comes in, makes a difference. And then the drama continues. So Levi now was so enthralled and just moved with compassion. How can a God instantly forgive me? I've done nothing good. He has given me salvation up front. He's like, whoa, I got to go and tell my fellow rascals. he's like, this is too good to be true. Bible says he threw a big banquet. Now, these folk knew how to party. When we here have a party, Sister Dabney, you know, if the party starts at 4 o'clock by 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening, you know, you're like, you know what, I got to go, I got to work tomorrow. But when these guys threw a party, we are talking days and days at a time, had the opportunity to go to Asia. And I saw families just chilling, and I was just blown away by how they did it all night long. I would get up at 2 and 3 in the morning, and they're still by the roadside just eating and chilling and just sharing about the good times. I'm like, wow! Boy, that's what heaven is going to be like, right? So let us get back to Levi now. Bible says he throws a big banquet. I made this up. Roasted beef, lamb chops, grilled fish. barbecue chicken, fried fish, shish kebab. Yes, Beverly, even rice and peas. Threw a big party. And then he invited his fellow publicans and losers, crookish, no good, thieves, people who spent their lives ripping people off. These were his invited guests. And when the Pharisees heard about this, they said, "We going to that party." I don't think they were invited, because they couldn't stand Levi. And Levi couldn't stand them. So there is no reason for Levi to invite these righteous people to sit with sinners. But they showed up anyway. Now follow the drama. This is suspense like you wouldn't believe it. So the party's going on and Jesus is sitting and, you know, chilling and eating pita bread, and I know at least he ate fish, and eating fish. And then my friends, the Pharisees, sort of went over to the DJ and said, "Can you just kind of turn the music down a little?" And then they kind of leaned over and said, "I'm kind of like confused right now. You know how we behave when we want to make a point? You know how we behave, right, Leah? When we have an agenda, we want to be passive, aggressive. All of this stuff is taking place right here. Read this chapter for yourself when you go home." And they said, "Explain to me, how is it possible for Jesus to sit and eat with publicans and dogs?" And Jesus, I guess with his goofy smile on his face again, he looked right up and he said, which brings us to our text for today, "I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." This tells me that no one is excluded from the fellowship with Jesus. Prostitute and pimp, saint and sinner, substance abuser and drug dealer, anyone has access to Jesus. And this is the point he wanted to make to them, that at the foot of the cross, we're all equal. I don't care about your degrees and your PhDs and your MDs and your BAs and what have you. I don't care about your righteousness. I came to call rascals and losers like these guys. Let me break down Jesus' response a little bit more for you. He uses a Greek word, kalisiai. He said, "I came to kalisiai these people." What is the meaning of kalisiai? To seek out, to deliberately check on someone, to intentionally encounter someone. He is talking about seeking, reaching. He is like a bad debt collector. You know, I made the mistake once of making a donation to the Michigan firefighters. Man, the worst decision I have ever made. Not the donation. Once I gave these guys my information, they never stopped calling me. Every evening, "Hello, may I speak to Colin King, please?" I'm like, Oh, this is not he's not home. Forgive me, Jesus. And this is what Jesus does. He seeks you out. We are not here today because we are cute. We are not here today because we are good. We are here today only for the grace of God. Amen. This is the point he was trying to make to these Pharisees. I came to Kalisii, these same sinners and losers. And then he uses another word, another Greek word. Jesus referred to the publicans and Pharisees. They are sinners and publicans. He referred to them as hamartolos. I'm like, whoa, let me check that out. Here's a definition for what Jesus was talking about. People who are devoted to sin. Sinner not free from sin. Preeminently sinful. Especially wicked. All wicked men. Specifically of men stained with certain vices. Devious, hamartolos. Thieves, hamartolos. Addicts, hamartolos. Pedophiles, hamartolos. Rejects of society, hamartolos. Bottom line, losers. These are the people I came to call, Jesus said to the Pharisees. Losers, down and out losers, these are my people. Yes, guess they're thinking, man, this Jesus is delusional. And he said, no, you guys don't get it. I came for two reasons. One is to die for sinners. Yes. And two, to show people what God is like. God has a love affair with losers. He is attracted to sinners. So much so that even if they were just one sinner, Jesus Christ would have done it again. You know, Venus and Nanus tell a very interesting story about a young executive who worked for IBM. This guy had made some risky investment that cost the company millions of dollars. Thomas Watson, the CEO, called him into the office. And before Watson could say anything, the young man said, I guess you need my resignation. This is what Watson said. We just spent millions of dollars educating you. Why in the world would we let you go? Jesus is the originator of this philosophy. He spent the entire universe to rescue us. He placed millions of galaxies at risk just to rescue losers and sinners. Why in the world would he give up on them? Amen. So you now begin to understand why Jesus spent a disproportionate amount of his time with losers. In fact, it's the church people. It's the church people that only allowed him to have his public ministry for 42 months. That's all they could tolerate of Jesus. You understand now why day after day and night after night he worked tirelessly to rescue people. You understand now why when he saw Mary Magdalene, prostitute, not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, not six times, but seven times he had to rescue her. Why in the world would I leave these people alone? Someone once told me, oh, God does not, you know, he does not pressure, you know, God. No, God doesn't force people. But he relentlessly pursues us. You know some of the crazy things that we have done that no one knows about? Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So what does God do when he hangs out with losers? Just what does he do? Well, someone says that Jesus runs a beauty parlor. When he hangs out with you, you get your hair done, your nails did, your weave look natural. Instead of cursing, there is no blessing. It's no longer me, but it's Jesus Christ in me. He changes my name from Levi to Matthew. He changes my name from tax collector to Bible writer. He changes my name from Saul to Paul. He changes my name from Jacob to Israel. When Jesus comes in, things change. So now, Sister Mills, when I come to church, I am not returning tithe because I'm looking for a blessing. I'm returning tithe because I have been blessed. When I come to church, Sister Mills, I'm not being nice because I have a fake smile on my face. I am being nice because Jesus Christ lifted me. Jesus Christ rescued me. He rescued me. I'm not working because I want stars in my crown. I'm working because Jesus Christ saved me. What a wonderful God we serve. That's why angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a wonderful God we serve. Now for the conclusion of the Jeffrey Dahmer story. So that loser, that monster, spent time in prison, 15 life terms. In prison, Jeffrey Dahmer. Began to attend Bible classes. Jeffrey Dahmer finally gave his life to Jesus. If Jeffrey Dahmer's conversion was for real, when Jesus burst the clouds of glory, he's going to say to Jeffrey Dahmer, welcome home. If Levi could make it, if Jeffrey Dahmer could make it, so can you.